to bring out the responsible people for the mess in which the Aryan race is now in, and how to get out. I think that is useful. Now, one thing also, I think we have to walk in the footsteps of the Führer in many ways, in all ways, in fact. And there are certain things going on, especially in Canada. I cannot end the speech without saying that. It's something that hurt me so much and still makes me shudder every time I think of it. We should follow the spirit of the Führer ever, in every way. And one thing that would have made the Führer indignant if he had known it is that massacre, mass massacre of seals on the coast of Canada. I've not seen it, I've seen pictures of it, and it's more than enough for me. Poor baby seals, so beautiful, trusting creatures that you can tame them if you like. Just killed, and how killed, a knock on the head and their skin pulled off or alive, practically alive. Their skin stolen from them. To steal their skins, what massacres are these beautiful creatures? Trusting creatures that do no harm to anybody. And one has the cheek of criticizing us for treating our enemies badly. And sometimes without us doing it. Take the Malmedy case. These SS men that were so tortured in prison that Van Roden, an American, Dutch origin American, had to come to Germany to investigate the case. They were not even, some of them were not even in Malmedy. And some of them being there had no part in the shooting of some American prisoners. They had nothing to do with it. And still, just because they were SS men of that same division or what, they were tortured in the most awful manner because they were what they wanted to be. You had to be condemned. But criticizing people for torturing for using their enemies badly, and allowing in one's own country what goes on against the seals, there should be something to stop that. There were 10 million seals. Now there are 800,000. What happened to the rest? I can see them skinned. I can see their corpses skinned, lying on the snow, in the snow, in pools of blood. Take away that sight. That's an awful thing. And to think, once even more awful than that, is to think that some Aryan men do it for $2.50 each. How can they do it? They're disgracing the race. Every Aryan who does something horrid disgraces his race. Discusses his children first. In the old Chinese, old China, a man who did something wonderful was rewarded. He was made noble. His sons were not noble, his fathers were. His fathers were responsible for his birth. They were made noble. He was perhaps a peasant, did something very good, something extremely, extremely good, I mean, say. And the emperor gave him some nobility. It went backwards. There were very many good things in old China. There was another thing. You can tell me that in 5 minutes, it's just a parenthesis. You have a doctor when you are sick. You go to the doctors when you are sick, and you pay him for what he says. In old China, you didn't do that. Every family had a family doctor. And they used to pay him a small sum as long as they were well. He didn't do anything. He just received the money from so many families. As long as these family members were all well. Once somebody fell sick, then they called the doctor. The doctor's pay was stopped. They did not pay him any more until the person got well. If it took a long time to cure the person, he had no pay. If he wanted the person to be, if he wanted his pay, he had to cure the person quickly. I find that much more reasonable than what we have. He had interest in curing the person quickly. Now a doctor has interest in making the person stay sick as long as possible to receive, some pay. Isn't it so? There was some wisdom in antiquity in all countries. And of course, among our own people, nobody has to learn from me. It's a thing that you all know of the wise women of the ancient Germans. There were wise women in ancient Germany, say, 4, 5, 6 centuries, six, up till 30,000 BC, prehistoric Germany, prehistoric Europe, north of Europe. And they were very celebrated in the art of healing, as well as in the counsel they could give, in the advice they could give for governing. So, that much for history. And the future, well, I wish the future is what we want it to be. And I try my best thinking as often as I can, and at fixed hours. And if I'm with another person, I ask the other person to think also, thinking what we want it to be, and trying our best, living lives up to the example and up to the idea of the Führer. For instance, the Führer was a vegetarian, a perfect vegetarian. He didn't smoke, and he didn't take any alcohol. How many of us do the same? % How many? He didn't ask anybody to do it. He says in his Tischgespräche, I suppose most of you have read this Tischgespräche of the Führer, he says, if I had made these items a condition of belonging to the NSDAP, I would have had nobody. Therefore, I could not make them a condition. But he felt that they were things important in a life. Of course, if you drink no alcohol, your blood is pure, more pure, and you are stronger than if you do. It's artificial. It's a kind of drug. Of drugs, of course, no knowledge. No knowledge. No speaking of drugs. Out of. And people nowadays tell me that in USA, there are children 12 that are already addicted to drugs. Why do they do it? I was offered drug when I was 17 in Greece by a Greek woman, morphine. I said, no, I'll never take a drug in all my life. As far as I'll go, well, I took Samos wine and Malaga wine once or twice in my whole life. And once it played me a bad trick. It was a birthday party in Athens, and I brought a bottle of Samos wine. I like Samos wine, and I like these old wines, cooked wines. I don't like other ordinary wine, nor champagne. Cooked wines I really like. I brought it to this young man, the son of one of my friends. And there was a party, there were Germans, there were English people, there were Greeks. And she said, well, you brought the wine. You have a little bottom of a glass with us. I said, don't ask me to take any wine. I don't put up with it. I get nervous and I don't know what I say. I get excited. So don't ask me, just a little bit, a centimeter. All right, I took a centimeter. And I drank it with delight, although it burns. I'm not used to it, so it burns myself. But it was nice. Samos wine is very nice. And then, after this party, we were all asked to sing a little song. And some Germans said to me, oh, you know German, you must be knowing some German songs. Sing us a German song. Well, I said, all right. And I sang, wir sind die Sturmkolonnen, wir gehen drauf und dran. Wir sind die ersten Reihen der deutschen Revolution. Sprung auf die Barrikaden, der Tod besiegt uns nur, etc. Wir sind die Sturmkolonnen der Hitler-Diktatur. I left out the most, the greatest part of the song. This is the beginning and the end. I sang that. Some people were delighted, but some were not. It would have been better if I had not drank any wine at all. That's what happens to me when I drink even a little wine. I don't, cannot control my speech. In vino veritas. And that's not the point. I don't mind, let me say, if a person drinks a little bit of schnapps for Christmas or something, like on a great occasion, Christmas meaning the winter solstice, of course. That's no harm, but drinking every day and drinking too much. I know that in cold countries, people drink a lot. You can put up with it in cold countries, you can't in hot countries. You can't in hot countries at all. You get ruined. But it's not so bad as drug. Drug, and then there's this other thing. There's this widespread propaganda. In order to destroy our race, it's willfully done. Propaganda of the excellence of the indispensable character of sex. Even to children. Telling people that if you don't have that, well, what are you missing? And that is disastrous. That is disastrous because it's one of the signs of the dark age, as said by the Hindu scriptures, that if the marriage bond is no longer duty, but pleasure only, and money, it's the beginning of the end. It's the dark age. And that's what they preach. They preach, enjoy yourself. You are here to have a good time. You are on earth to have a good time. No, we are not on earth to have a good time. We are only individuals. We are on earth to serve that which is in us eternal. And the only eternal thing in anybody is the race. You are immortal if you have children. And children of your own kind. You are immortal if you have works. I don't say works that are known. In the old cathedrals of Europe, if you look at the sculptures, you have some little details that are perfect as sculptures. The workman who sculptured that one detail some 1,000 years ago, or say 800 years ago in the 12th century, that man is immortal. You don't know his name. He's immortal all the same. His work lasted. And the work doesn't last as long as the race. The race will outlive the work. Work is something that depends on climate. In a damp country, a sculpture will not last as long as in a dry one. But race, if it's kept pure, will last. And that is what I'd like to say. And that is the reason, of course, of the bondage of marriage, and it's not to be made a plaything, it's not to be made a pastime. It's a sacred thing for a purpose in the spirit of the Führer. He said he was all for early marriage, and he was for many children of good Aryan blood. He told the people that were not of perfect Aryan blood, or who were deficient in a bodily way. He said, you can't have children, all right, you're not to have any. You can adopt an alien child. I like the propaganda of the NSWPP. Adoption, not abortion. When they go and picket in front of the abortionist clinics and tell the people, don't do any abortions of Aryan children. We are not so numerous, proportionately to the others. Negroes multiply 10 times as quick as we do. In England also, and that's the danger. No other danger, that in itself is a danger. Don't abort Aryan children. Let the mothers have them. The mother doesn't want the child, all right. Find a couple without any children who's willing to take it. Or even a couple with children that's willing to bring it up as a brother or sister of their own children. Why not? Why not? If I had money, if I had in my life, I never had a fixed job, you see. If I had a fixed job with a fixed income, I would have liked to adopt an alien child myself and bring it up in my own spirit. I would have inquired into the family. Failing that, when Mr. Mukherjee had a job, and when I thought it was stable, it wasn't, of course, but I thought it was in those days, I told him, we are outside the pale of, I mean to say, breeding and all that, we are faithful to the caste system, both of us. All right, we don't want any intimacy in any children, but I wouldn't mind adopting a little boy or a little girl of your caste, an orphan of good Brahmanic stock. He didn't want it. He didn't want to take the responsibility, probably feeling that his situation, his financial situation, was not stable. In fact, after the war, he had no job at all. He had some kind of earnings during the war, but after the war, he had no earnings at all. And he was right. He lived his last years living on his astrology. An astrologer in India doesn't earn so much as that, because so many astrologers there are. But anyhow, he pulled on. That wouldn't have been enough to give education to a boy. But I'm all for this propaganda. Abortion, no abortion. Adoption instead of abortion. Quite good. And encourage people to have children. Not one or two, but if they can afford to, bring them up decently. And what does it mean, bring them up decently? Bringing them up decently means welfare. Cleanly lodged. I don't say lodged in luxury. Cleanly lodged, well fed as they need to be fed for their health, and given a sound, good education, a general education and an ideological education. And that's all. It doesn't mean to say to have a TV. You can live without a TV. You can live without a radio. There is our comrade in France, Augier de Saint-Loup, author of several books, author of a trilogy of the fight for our ideology in Russia, the LVF, Légion Volontaire Française, and then the SS, Waffen-SS, and another third book called The Nostalgic People. This trilogy, very good books. He has no radio in his house, and no TV. He doesn't want the appliances. Just as I don't want them myself, I never had a radio. I listened to the radio during the war at my landlord's place. And I only listened to one thing, the funeral speeches. I never listened to anything else. And Mr. Mukherjee used to come and listen with me, although his German was anything but good, but he wanted to hear his voice. That's all. But you can live without that. Instead of spending so much on these kind of things, which after all, are just propaganda, and the enemy's propaganda. Why not spend that on an extra child? Have an extra child. It's very good. I would say, even a pet. It's good for children to be brought up with a young animal. It teaches them to learn, to love creatures, to love nature. If you have a garden, plant something beautiful in your garden. It's a good thing to be in touch, to put children in touch with nature, and to keep them in touch with nature. It teaches them to love nature. And love of nature is one of the things that Adolf Hitler had. Germany still, in spite of all the devastations of after the war, still has one third of her surface covered with forests. It's one of the very seldom countries in Europe that has that. Sweden, of course. Sweden has a small population. But more simple living, not so much artificiality, not so much uselessness in life, and more concentration on health, beauty, ideology. Truth, health, beauty, truth. And there are many things that we could take from the Jews. I very often said, if we had some of the virtues that the Jews have, there would never have been a Jewish question. And one of them is this, solidarity. If a Jew goes bankrupt, other Jews will bring him up three times He can be three times bankrupt. He will survive with the money of the other Jews. In my native time, there was a Greek that tried business and failed. Son of a Greek, son of a friend of mine. His father and mother gave him some money. He wanted to do cloth business. Well, the cloth market in Lyon, as well as everywhere else, is a monopoly of the Jews, practically. This young boy failed. Oh, the other Greeks laughed at him. Why did he try business when he was not fit for it? That's all. Why didn't he try business? Serves him right. Jews would never have said that of him. They would have picked him up once, twice, three times. Now, every Jew in Lyon, every Jew in Saint-Étienne, France, I know those two towns very well, gives one-tenth of his income to Israel. If every person with an income, I wish I had one, I'm living on private lessons and have no fixed income, but if every person with an income could give even 1/20 to these national socialist organizations, to one national socialist organization, it's a pity there are more than one, it would make a great difference. It would make a great difference. Supposing, well, I cannot yet think of the head of the NSWPP becoming president of the United States. Why is that unthinkable? Why is it unthinkable, after all? Because you need an enormous quantity of money to do that. Presidential propaganda. And you don't get the media. You will never get the television hours for propaganda to be president.